This season of the year, we say Slichas a lot. So in the main part of the Slichas is the Yud Gimel Midas. When we say, Vayav Hashem Anpanim Vayikra, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun, and the Gemara comments, Vayav Hashem Anpanim, Alam Mishen Nisatav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Geshliach Tzibur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shol Moshe Rabbeinu, and he told them, Kol Zman Shebanei Choytim, Yasa Lefan Kiseid HaZev Vani Mechalem. So we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, and this was Nizgalet to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom HaKippurim, and that's why in Kippur we repeat the Yud Gimel Midas so many times over and over again. So Taisus and not Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. Taisus has two opinions how to count. There are more than two opinions, but Taisus has two. How do you count the Yud Gimel Midas? So the one opinion is Hashem Hashem Kavrachim Echadun. It's the exact same Hashem Hashem. So Gemara says no, Hashem Kodim Sheyechta and Hashem Lacha Sheyechta. And the other opinion is, no, you read the Pasuk going, Vayav Hashem Alpanav, Vayikra Hashem, colon. And the Yud Gimel Midas begin from the second Shem Hashem. So if you're just going to start from Hashem Hashem Kalarach Mechanon, so the first Shem Hashem that you said is really a prina of Motzi Shem Shemaim L'Vatolim. You didn't. So that's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that there's a minig when you open the Oren Kodesh and Shalda Shugadim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you say Yud Gimel Midas three times. Many Achrenim are opposed to this practice of saying three times. What do we believe in the Trinity? There's only one God. So what are you saying? You do admit it three times. So Rav Soloveitchik also had the he only said once. Then he didn't say Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Common minig is that you say Pesach Shavuot Sukkos also when you open up the Yom Kodesh. His minig was like those Achrenim. You don't say Tchinas on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, only on Rosh Hashanah because it's such a serious Yom Adin. That's another story. But the question is, where do you begin? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that you should begin from the Pasuk V'ayav Hashem Anpanav Vayikra. And then the Mefarshim on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are bothered with Akasha. Why is he concerned about Kol Psuka Dolem Paske Moshe Anan Loi Paskinon? But the Kitzur himself paskins that whatever you're saying a Derech Tchino, not really saying a Derech Limbud. Not saying but Torah's Pasuk, you're saying a Derech Tchino, so there's no issue, there's no violation of Kol Psuka Dolem Paske Moshe. So I thought that the reason why the Kitzur recommended you should start from the beginning of the Pasuk V'ayav Hashem Anpanav Vayikra is not to solve the problem of Kol Psuka de la Paske Moshe, because you're going to stop off in the middle. But okay, you're not going to continue. That's Kol Psuka de la Paske Moshe. The answer is you're saying there are Tchina. But because of these two opinions in Tosis, whether the first Shem Hashem is one of the Yud Gimel Midas or not, maybe the Yud Gimel Midas begins from the second Shem Hashem. So maybe that's why he recommends that you should begin by Yav Hashem Aponah. Also, the common practice here in the yeshiva, in many communities, the tzibur says, Vayav Hashem Anpanav Vayikra, then they pause. And then the chazan says, Vayav Hashem Anpanav Vayikra. And then everybody says, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun. And says, often there's a long pause in between the time that the tzibur, says, Vayav Hashem Anpanav Vayikra, and you start to say, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun. Other communities, they don't have this pause in between. Like in Broyers and other communities, they say, V'yav Hashem Apanim, Hashem Hashem Karach Machanon. They don't have this pause in between. Maybe that's more correct to satisfy the both opinions and Tosis, whether the first Shem Hashem is really from the Yud Gimel Midas or not. We all know that we only observe one day Yom Kippur. We don't observe a Sveika D'Yoyma. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that some had a practice. There's a source in the Yerushalmi like this. Some had a practice at Midas Chasidus. To fast 2 days in a row, and the reason why we don't do it is because of a suffix sakana. Most healthy people, especially in America, people are overweight. Most healthy people can afford to fast 2 days in a row. It won't even make a dent on us. We won't be sick, but some people will get sick. So that's why the Chachamim never introduced Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. But the question is, all right, so after they established the Luach Kavua, so the whole observance of Yantav Sheni is not a real Sveika D'Yoyma. But what about Bizman Shekitshol Pi Ariya? Then there was a real Sveika D'Yoyma. So you don't have any sources. It doesn't say anywhere that they observe Yantav Sheni Medina because a real Sveika D'Yoyma. They really fasted 2 days on Yom Kippur. So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash, on Parsha Samor, writes about this. He says, even Bizman Shekitshol Pi Ariya, even before... Till the days of Abai Verovah, Baba Rava lived in Bavel, so their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael used to do Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariyah, and that's when they fixed the Luach Kavua that we know today. So even before the days of Baba Rava, when it was Kiddush al Pi Hariyah, there wasn't a real Sreka Diyama. So the Netziv explains that Ruba de Ruba Elul HaSamach Le Elul, which is Nekta Tishrei, was always Choser. The Gemara says in 500-600 years it was once that Elul was Meuber. In the days of Ezra, Elul was Meuber. The Gemara says, V'yelech lamatzina Elul Meuber. So you have a right to follow the Reiv. It's an overwhelming Reiv. That Elul, I know when Rosh Chodesh Elul was. So we have the right to assume, you go Basar Reiv, that Elul only had 29 days. And Rosh Hashanah was the first day. So true, you observe Yantav Sheni for Rosh Hashanah. That's Rashi learns that's a machlokes in the Gemara in the first parak in Beitza. The Machi Kitchal Pi Ariya, where the Yantav Sheni was a minik or a dinder rabbanu, but it was never real suffik deraisa. It was never really sveka deraisa. So that's why that's why on Yom Kippur they never introduced the Yantav Sheni, because it was never real suffik deraisa luchomer. They should have introduced at least suffik deraisa not to do malacha. All right. Tell everybody they should eat, because we're afraid someone's going to start fasting and get into sakana. But why don't you tell everybody they shouldn't do malacha? They never introduced Yom Tov Sheni for Yom Kippur at all. Some people did fast. That was Betoris Midas Chassidus. But Mikra did not. So even Mizman Shekitcha Piyariya was never really a real suffix. The Dvar Avram was the last Rav in Kovna. He died in the middle of the Kovna ghetto. He died before the Nazis had a chance to murder him. Many people died in the ghetto. The hygienic conditions were terrible at that time. So he has a famous chiddush in his sefer. The Balamor and the Ravid have a discussion at the end of Pesachim, why don't we count Sfiras HaEmer as fake of the Yom? You're supposed to count Sfiras HaEmer. Mimachos HaShabbos, the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach. So we're not sure whether the first day is Yontif and the second day is first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. But the second day is Yontif, and the next day is the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. So why don't we count Sfiras HaEmer Chutzlo? So how come we don't count Sfiras HaEmer and Sveika Diyam? So the Baal HaMoed has an answer, and the Ravid, different Rishonim have discussions on the topic, the last page in the Rif, and Masechet Pesachim. So the Dvar Avram has a famous answer, that if you're going to count the Sveika Diyam, so you kill the whole mitzvah. Because the Gemara has a comment in the first parak in Bava Metzia. When you count Maisa Be'em, it has to be Asiri Vadi V'lo Asiri Sofik. So he takes it that it's not just a local din in Maisa Be'em, it's a din of Kol HaTarkula, whenever you have to have a sphira. Whenever you're counting, so the counting has to be clear, Vada. If you're counting, I say either tonight is the second night of sphira or the first night of sphira. If I'm not sure, that's not called counting. That's famous when the Dvar Rav Soloveitchik used to speak and learning with the Dvar Avram when he was in Berlin in the university. So the Kovner Rav used to go to Potsdam for vacation. And he used to talk and learning. He was related to the Soloveitchik family also. And he learned Barab Chaim Soloveitchik in Valozhin Yeshiva. He used to talk and learning. So when he heard this from, when Rav Soloveitchik heard it from the Dvar Avram, so he asked him, you mean, what about Bizman Shekitchal Pi Ariyat? It was a real Sveka Diyayma. So you mean, when they counted, they didn't count Sveras Ayma? So he said that Rav Ram was stunned when he heard that. He has this written in his Sefer. So he doesn't write the whole story that he spoke to Rav Soloveitchik. He writes that also. And even though Bizman Shekitchal Pi Ariyat, so he deals with that as well. But perhaps the answer is like the Netziv said, that Ali B'Demes, there never was really a Sveka Diyayma. They always knew that Hadar HaSamach L'Nissan, if it's a Shana Muberis and there's an Adar Sheni, so Hadar HaSamach L'Nissan is going to be Chosen. If it's a Shana Pshuta, only one Hadar, so Hadar HaSamach L'Nissan is Liyadam Chaser. So they had the right to rely on that. On Erev Yom Kippur, there's a din in the Gemara, you have to eat, you have to have a Suda, and they were Amoraim, he used to fast all year long, but the Gemara says Erev Yom Kippur and Shavuos and Purim are the 3 days in the year that you're not allowed to fast. The other days you can fast, these 3 days you're not allowed to fast. So many have a minig, a chassidish minig, many had a minig that they would eat honey cake on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because in Shir Hashirim, the Torah is compared to Dvash V'cholav Tachas L'Shaynech, to honey and milk. And on Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinu, so we have milchiks, they have cheesecake. And on Yom Kippur is the day that the Luch HaShnias, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias. So the Gemara says in the end of Tainus that one of the two jolliest days in the calendar was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Chamishos Abov. Lo Elohim L'Yisrael Yom Tovim Chamishos Abov became a Kippurim, that they used to make all the Shidduchim then. And the Gemara says, B'shleimu Yom Kippur Minayim. Why? Because it's Yom Kabbalah Sator. So you see from the Gemara that we celebrate 2 days a year, Kabbalah Sator. We celebrate Shavuos, and we celebrate on Yom Kippur as well. So on Shavuos we have the Cholov, and on Erev, so we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. We call it Kabbalah Sator. The Gemara says Shavuos is one day you have to have elaborate meals, more so than Pesach and Sukkot, because Yom Shenitna Batayra. So Erev, eating on Erev Yom Kippur, is also celebrating because Yom Shenitna Batayra, the Luch HaShnias. So that's why the minig was that they used to have a honey cake. Then they had a minig on top of the minig that they would buy the honey cake from money from the pushka. And everybody in the shtiebel would eat it. They still have the minig here in the Dumbra of the shtiebel. In many Chassidish communities in Europe, they had that. Why? Why buy money from the pushka? Pushka is for tzedakah. So in case that they have in the svarim, why? In case it was nigzam in Hashemayim, that the person should suffer, he should be nizam bin tzedakah, they should be yotze with this. So they had everybody eat a little honey cake that was purchased from money from the pushka. On Yom Kippur, the Ramah writes that the minig is that all of the married people wear kittel. In Hungary, they used to have a minig 100 years ago, 150 years ago, that the first year after they got married, they wouldn't wear a kittel. So they asked the Maramshik, what in the world is that all about? Why don't they wear a kittel the first year? So he said, he thinks it's a local minig. He says they used to get married so young, they were 15, 16 years old, so they looked like babies. After a year of marriage, they were a little settled and they looked a little more mature. But he said the reason why they didn't wear a kittel the first year, because it looked like a joke. Today, no, but we don't get married. And here in the yeshiva, nobody gets married so young. So by us, the meaning is that you wear a kittel right away.
What would be wrong with wearing it young?
It looks like a joke. It looks like a little child putting on, acting as if he's married. They didn't look married. That's what he writes.
Because it has to do with Misa?
No. Just looks funny. So by us, we don't have that meaning. We put on the kittel right away. So some communities have the meaning that you wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. And there are more rites of meaning, you only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, and then where the meaning is that on Yom Kippur we wear a talis all day long. Usually you don't wear a talis by Ma'ariv. If you want to say a brach on a talis, you have to put it on by yom. You're not supposed to say a brach when you put on a talis by laila, because it's a ksus yom, it's a beged yom, but you're wearing it by laila. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that's a machlok, is the Rosh and the Rambam, where the only pajamas are put, the ksus laila is put, or laila is put. So because of that machlok, so you don't put on, you shouldn't put on a talis by laila, because you're putting yourself into a suffix bracha, that's not right. So usually you don't wear a talis at night when you daven ma'ariv all year long, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Yom Kippur, we wear the talis all night long, till the end of the davening, and all day long. You usually only wear it till the end of Musaf, then you take it up before you daven mincha. On Yom Kippur, we wear a whole day long. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted the Meiri, Amasecha Shabbos, interprets the Gemara like that. The Rambam writes that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chof Tes, I think, writes that there are four mitzvahs, two in the Chumash Zohar B'Shamar, and two in the Novi Yeshaya, Kibud V'Yoinik. So what exactly, what's Kibud, what's Einik? So Einik is Achila Shtia, Tashma Shamit, and Kibud is Ksus Nekia. So the Meiri interprets in the Gemara that on Yom HaKippurim, there's no Achila Shtia, and there's no Tashma Shamit, so you don't have normal, regular oneg, so we double up on the kibbut. So not only should you wear big day Shabbos, wear some big day Shabbos, because that we would never wear on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov. You should have extra kibbut. So the kibbut is b'ksus nekiya, so we wear a talis all day long, and we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik liked that Meiri. He's explaining what the meaning is based on, and he interprets that that's what it sounds as if the Gemara says like that. The Gemara in Erevin Adaf Mem on the base has a suffix where the one recites Shehechiyono on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What did they do last year? They didn't. No one was alive who remembered what they did last year. What's the suffix? And so, of course, they said Shehechiyono last year. The Gemara suffix is when you have a pre Chodosh, so reciting of Shehechiyono is a reshus. It's optional. If you decide, if you want to, you can say Shehechiyono. You don't have to if you don't want to. But on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, the obligation to recite Shehechiyono is obligatory. It's a chayva. So Gemara was mesupik whether reciting Shehechiyono on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chayva or a rishus. So Gemara comes to the conclusion that it is a chayva. Yom Chuyiv Tu. What was the suffix? Why should it be the same? Why should it be different from Pesach Shavuot Sukkot? So some of the Rishonim explain. Rashi and Tosfos don't explain anything. Some other Rishonim explain on the daf that on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot we recite Shehechiyono because there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So that's Shehechiyono v'kimana v'giyono lazman hazeh. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there's a machlokes hatanaim in a Mishneh Moed Katan. Is the rechi of Simcha or not? We know there's a din if one is in the middle of Nihu Gavela, so if one is in the middle of Shiva, comes Yantav, so Yantav cancels the Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim, so Yantav cancels the rest of the Shloshim. How come only Yantav cancels? How come Shabbos doesn't cancel? So we usually assume because if Shabbos is going to cancel, you're never going to have Shiva, you're never going to have Shloshim. That's not the correct answer. Tosfos says the reason why Shabbos is different because on Yontif there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of Simcha. And Simcha and Avelus, the Gemara considers a tarte disaster. That's an observation. Why is Simcha and Avelus a tarte disaster? If the guy wants to, he can, when he comes home on Yontif, he can take off his shoes and walk around without any shoes. So what's the tarte disaster? So he said, it's not a tarte disaster in the Hanhog, it's a tarte disaster. It's both are a kiyum shebelev. He said that Simchas Yontav is a kiyum shebelev and Avelus is a kiyum shebelev. There's no steer on the activities that you're engaged in, but the steer, let's say the person can sleep on the floor on Yontav if he wants to. If he enjoys sleeping on the floor, he can sleep on the floor. So let him sleep, let him observe Kviyas Amit on Yontav, sleep on the floor. What's the steer between Yontav and Avelus? They said, not a steer in the Nihug, it's a steer in the Kiyum Shebelev. So on Shabbos, Tosfos explains, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. We tone down the Avelus on Shabbos for a different reason, because Shabbos, it says, Vayvarech Elokim as Yom HaShvi'i, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Shabbos as a day of Broche, and the Pasuk says, in Mishlei Birchas Hashem Hitashir, V'leYosef Etzev Imo, on a day on which there's a Broche, Shabbos, there's no atzvu, so that's why we don't observe Avelus b'farhesia. On Shabbos, we only observe Avelus b'tzina. But it's not because of Simcha. On Shabbos, there's no Simcha. How can we say Yismuchu b'malchuscha? That's another discussion, a long discussion. Mr. Chemed has a few pages about this. Rav Soloveitchik got his own suggestion about that. Why do you say Yismuchu b'malchuscha if there's no chiyuv Simcha? So in the Mishnah, in Moed Katan, in the third parak Moed Katan, we have all the dinim of Avelus. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. The Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim. So it's a machlekes whether there's a Chiv Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara says we pass in Halacha that it does cancel Shiva, does cancel Shloshim. So it means that there is a Chiv Simcha. So how come the Gemara was Mesupik whether you recite Shehechiyono or not? So the answer is we have a Klal Halacha Gedibar Nekal Ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machlekes in Hilchos Avelus, we always go Lekula. Even if the issue is one, it's not a shayla in Hilchos Avelus, it's a shayla in Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So even if you paskin like the majority opinion, let's say, that there's no chiyuv Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when it comes to Avelus, we would go to Hakel. We would split the psak. So the fact that we paskin Halach L'maisa, Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva, Yom Kippur cancels Shiva and Shloshim, but that does not necessarily prove that we really paskin Halach L'maisa like that, that there is a chiyuv Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's what the Gemara asked. What's the din? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, it's not just B'toras HaLocha K'teva HaMekal Ba'ovel that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva and Shloshim. We really paskin that there is a Chiyuv Simcha, and that's why you do recite Shehechiyono. Now the Gemara raises the question, how can you say Shehechiyono on Yom Kippur? Usually you say Shehechiyono over a cup of wine. So the Gemara said, that's not a problem. Shehechiyono, I'm Rafi LeBashuk. Shehechiyono can be recited even if you're walking in the street. It doesn't necessarily have to be recited over a cup of wine. So on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says you have no choice. So you recite Shehechiyono, even though there is no cup of wine. On Rosh Hashanah, same as Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, is true. You can recite Shehechiyono in shul, like a Leil Yom Kippur. After Kol Nidre, the Chazan says Shachrian, everybody says along, so there's no cup of wine. So you can do the same on Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot also. The Gemara says, you'll enhance the significance of the bracha if you save the bracha of Shachrianu till the end of the Kiddush. So then you made it into a bracha ala kos. So on Yom Kippur, you can't do that. There is no kos yayin. So let's say many women have the practice that on Yontif, when they say Shachrianu, so they say Shachrianu on the bench lech. So they're really cheating themselves. The husbands can also say Shachrianu and Shul, but the husbands enhance the chashivas of Shachrianu by saving it till they recite Kiddush. So the women should also. Why do they cheat themselves? They should wait till Kiddush, and they should be Yotze de Shachrianu ala Yayin. On Yom Kippur, where you're not going to say Kiddush ala Yayin, so you're not going to enhance the chashivas. So then it makes sense. The women want to say Shachrianu when they're ben shlich. That's fine, because everybody's going to say Shachrianu shalo ala kos. However, if the women, so Rabbi Kivege quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who says, and it's true, is that it's not really right. The practice that many women have, that they say Shechiona when they bench licht on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah, is not really right. More correct is, they should wait till the Kiddush and be Yotze Shechiona ala Yayin. On Yom Kippur, it's fine, because everyone's going to say Shalom ala Yayin. Thing is that once you say Shechiona, the Gemara says, you cannot say Shechianu on Erev Yom Kippur. Once you say Shechianu, means you're mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur, and you can't do any malacha. You can't eat. That's it. So, all year long, there's a machlokes, the Bahag and all the Bishanim, when a woman benches licht, does that constitute Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Bal Korcha? Let's say she doesn't want to be mekabel Shabbos. So the Bahag understood in the Gemara, understood, misunderstood, whatever. He understood based on that Gemara and Erevin. So once you say, once you bench licht, that's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korchai. The other Rishonim disagree. So even though they disagree with the Bahag, out of respect for the Bahag, because he lived in the days of the Gaonim, we don't want to violate his opinion. There are other things like that also. The Bahag says that if you miss one day of Sfira, so you blew it, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah. We really don't hold like the Bahag. But out of respect for the Bahag, so if you missed one day, so we don't say a bracha. The Bahag is one who came up with the Chiddush that a woman cannot be Moitzi a man in Mikra Megillah. So we really don't paskal like that. If the only one who can read the Megillah for the man is a woman, so we say the woman can't be Moitzi the man. But under normal conditions, we don't want to violate the opinion of the Bahag, so we don't allow a woman to read the Megillah for the man. There's a certain rabbi in Riverdale who's so smart that he knows the Bahag is wrong, so he kicks in the behind, so he has a woman read the Megillah for the men in the shul, to show the Bahag is wrong. We know the Bahag is wrong also, but we don't want to demonstrate. The rabbi should say, if whoever forgets, probably some of his balabatim forget to count one day of Sfira, he should say, they should say a bracha on Sfira Sam also, because we don't pass like the Bahag there either. So over here also, we don't really hold like the Bahag. The Bahag says once someone benches licht, it's Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha. We don't really hold like that. But unless there's a big Shas Hatchak, so we say the women should abstain from Malacha after they bench licht. But on Erev Yom Kippur, where they're saying Shechianu, that's Medina de Gemara. Once you say Shechianu, then for sure it's Yom Kippur. So if the woman plans to drive to Shul, then she shouldn't say Shechianu when she lights the Neiris. Yom Kippur is one of the days in the year that those who lost a parent recite Yizkor. People misunderstand. They think that Yizkor is an observance of Avelus on the Yontif. We don't observe Avelus on Yontif. Yizkor is... Taisus quotes a Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah, on the first daf in Chulin. The Beis HaMinal of Medrash says that Mitzvah Lida B'Yeis Tzor. If a person is the Eis Tzara, someone is sick in the family, or it's a Yom Adin, Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yemei Hadin, so Yom Adin is like an Eis Tzara, so it's a mitzvah leader to be mekabel something on yourself. The Mashgiach, Zichron Lebrochem, and I was a Talmud in Yeshiva, Mashgiach was Rabbi Lessen, he was from Slabotke, he was one of the very choshevet Talmidim in Slabotke. He used to say that the Bali Musa used to say, that our Rosh Hashanah without a New Year's resolution, without a Kabbalah, is Nishkin Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin, it's a mitzvah leader be a star. So the Bali Musi is to make Kabbalahs every year. make a Kabbalah. They're going to finish Tein Mikarecha Targum every week. They're going to learn Sifri Tanakh, learn this, that. Kabbalahs that are reasonable. They would accept upon themselves Kabbalahs that are reasonable, not too difficult to observe. Because it's a mitzvah lido, or to pledge to give tzedakah, whatever amount of tzedakah it is. It's a mitzvah lido v'yeis tzor. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Pesach Shavuot Sukkot are an eis tzor. Because the mission says in first parak Rosh Hashanah, Ba'ba prokim o'elam nidon. Four times in the year the world is being judged. And Pesach Shavuot Sukkot and Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the world is being judged. So that's why the meaning was that they would make an appeal for some tzedakah, and the people would pledge tzedakah. That's the mitzvah leader b'yeis tzor. So once they're pledging tzedakah, so they would add up, that's the hishtalshus. Once they're pledging to give tzedakah, so they would say, and this tzedakah that I'm pledging should be considered as a schus for my parent, or my parents who raised me and who taught me that the proper way is to give tzedakah. So it's also a chelik of simchas yontif, if you're giving tzedakah to anim. If you're giving the tzedakah, is going to yeshiva, so that's only mitzvah lida b'yeis tzor. But if you're pledging money to give to aniyim, so that's a mitzvah of simchas yontif. So machtata v'alevi v'ageh b'yasa alman ha'shev kerbecho, the way to fulfill simcha, the Rambam says, if you eat and drink and you make merry, that's simchas akeris, that your belly is happy. And if you give money to the aniyim, if you give tzedakah to the aniyim, that's the real simcha. Samechus ha'umlolim, to cheer up those who are less fortunate than you. So there's an inyan of pledging to give. You don't actually give the money on Yontif. You pledge to give the money. That's an inyan of Simchas Yontif. To make an appeal on Yontif for tzedakah, for anim, that's an inyan of Simchas Yontif. It's not an inyan of Avelis at all. And so in conjunction with giving the tzedakah, so they added on the tefillah, that this should be considered a schus for one's parents. We have a minig, a very old minig, that those who have parents walk out from the shul before they say yiska. So the different explanations are given. The Tzitz Aliyez has a whole tshuva after the Second World War, and they added on another yiska for those who were killed by the Nazis. In many shuls they added on. So in many shuls they wanted that the people, that even the people who do have parents, should stay in shul for the whole yiska. So the Tzitz Eliezer, this was soon after the war, so the Tzitz Eliezer said, no, they should observe the old minig. There's a good reason for the old minig. What's the good reason for the old minig? So he quotes four different reasons. He's not sure himself. He quotes many different reasons why. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give his reason. He says there's a Mishnah in Brachas. There was a period of time that there was a Takana Sezer that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, not allowed to daven. So what does he do if he's in shul and everybody's saying Kriyashma and everybody's davening Shemana Esrei? So he's not allowed to learn, not allowed to say Kriyashma, not allowed to daven. So he should say, the Gemara explains Pshat in the Mishnah, it's going to look very bad. Everybody's Mekabal HaMachal Shemayim, everybody's davening, he's not davening. So you should make believe he's saying, you should do something. You have to somehow do something that it shouldn't look as if he doesn't believe in the religion. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's the reason why the people who are not saying Yiska walk out, because everybody's saying a tefillah. They're not saying because they have parents. But it looks as if they don't believe in Kareich HaTefillah or something. So that's why he thought, Rav Soloveitchik always used to daven mincha before the Shkia. And after his wife passed away, years before he passed away, after his wife passed away, he didn't want to be alone, so he moved out of his home. He moved in with his daughter, the Tversky's. And his son-in-law had a Chassidus Shtibel. Rabbi Tversky's father was a professor in Harvard, but he was also a Chassidus Rebbe. So the Chassidus Rebbe, they daven mincha after the Shkia on Friday afternoon. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to daven early, daven Yechidus, and then when he would be waiting in shul, when they would get to mincha, he would walk out. He didn't want to be in shul when they're davening mincha, because if they're davening and you're not davening, it doesn't look right. So he said that he thought that that's the same thing by Yiska. He said that the minig, that everybody walks out by Yisker, he thought that's the reason why. That it's not proper to be in shul, but everybody's davening and you're not going to daven. The Gemara has a din of Maseches Brachos. Normally we daven Shacharis and Musaf in the morning, then we daven Mincha in the afternoon. Let's say on Rosh Chodesh, the person daven Shacharis, that he had to run to the office, didn't have a chance to daven Musaf. And then he's not going to go to daven mincha. He's not going to have a minyan. He's going to have to take off from work to half an hour to daven musaf and daven mincha. So which do you daven first, which do you daven second? So the Gemara says, Tadah v'shena Tadah, Tadah kaidim. That mincha you daven every day. Musav is only once in a long while you daven musav. So you should daven mincha first, and then daven musav afterwards. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote a machlok zavishan. Do you do this b'tzibur? Let's say it's Yom Kippur, and the chazan is singing very slowly, and then they make mishaberachs. They make money for the shul. They make a lot of mishaberachs, and Balkari is laying slowly. Then the chazan sings hinei nihonei mimas. Takes a half an hour. And a lot of shul. So then when they start davening musaf, it's already zman mincha. It's already half an hour after chatzos. So do you do that b'tzibur? You have them daven mincha first, then daven musaf. You're going to confuse the oilam. They're not going to know what's going on. Why do they daven mincha before musaf? You can talk yourself blue. Most of the people will not understand why you're davening mincha before. So that's a machlokes in Mishnah, whether you only do that b'yochad or you even do it b'tzibur. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should avoid that. You should make sure that you start at least tefillah b'alachus of musaf before half an hour after chatzos. And now chatzos is about 1 o'clock. Half an hour after chatzos is 1:30. So there's plenty of time. So you should make sure that you start davening tefillah b'alach the chazaras hashatz of musaf. You're not going to finish before 1:30. That's out of the question. But at least the tefillah b'alachus you should begin before 1:30. I remember it's not always a daylight saving time. Sometimes it's Eastern Standard Time. And half hour after chatzos is 12:30. So I remember once my father told the chazan, you should leave out hinei nihonei mimas, because he used to have a half an hour production, a whole production. Chazan would stand in the back of the shul and walk from the door up to the bima and sing hinei nihonei mimas for 25 minutes. And my father told me, you have to leave it out, because it's soon going to be half an hour after chatzos. So the Balvatim thought the world was coming to an end. Hinei nihonei mimas, they thought that's the most important part of the davening. It's one of the less important parts of the davening. One rabbi told me that there was a balmusav in his shul who told him he doesn't want to say hinei nihonei mimas because he feels that it's not true. He feels that he's a tzaddik. The rabbi wouldn't allow him to daven in front of him. if he thought the words don't apply to him, he couldn't let him daven in front of him. That was interesting. What is Ne'ila all about? So the Mishnah in the middle of Tainis, Masechus Tainis explains, Ne'ila is not really a tefillah that's miyuchad for Yom Kippur. Ne'ila is a tefillah that's for any Tainis tzibur. But the Gemara says, Bizman is ein lono bebavel, ein lono Tainis tzibur bebavel, ala tisha b'av Yom Kippur b'avad. The only 2 days of the year that have the status of a Tainis tzibur, Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'av, we have a reason why we don't say Ne'ilah. What is the idea behind Ne'ilah? So the Yerushalmi explains. The Bavli doesn't explain that much. Yerushalmi, end of Tainus, explains that we learn that from Sukkim and Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, that if you offer a tefillah, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. So if you repeat the tefillah many times over, you stand a better chance of having your tefillah answered if you repeat the same tefillah many times. The Medrash says that Veschanan al Hashem ba'isah hilaymar. Abraham of the Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to cross over the Yarden to visit Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Let Yeshua ben Nun be the leader of the Jewish people, but just allow me to cross over the Yarden, then I'll die." So the Gemara, the Medrash says that he davened over 500 tefillos. There's a whole sefer, the Megal Amukas, from Nosson Shapira. He lived in the 1600s. What could it be? So he wrote, he was guessing, what could it be, the 550 tefillahs that Moshe Rabbeinu offered? There's a whole sefer on Boaz Chanan. And another sefer, Megal Amukas, on all of Chumash. All Kapola. So Ne'ila, you offer on a Tainis Tzibur. Tainis Tzibur means that there's an Eis Tzara. And if you repeat the tefillah over and over and over again, you stand a better chance of having the tefillahs answered. So that's what Ne'ilah is all about. It's a gather of ribui tefillah. You repeat the same bakasha and another tefillah. When is supposed to be this man of Ne'ilah? So there are three different opinions. So one opinion is you have to finish Ne'ilah before the Shkia. The Gemara, the end of Yuma. One opinion is you have to finish Ne'ilah before the Shkia. The other opinion is you can even start Ne'ilah after Tzeis HaKochavim. doesn't have to be before the Shkiyah. You don't even have to start before the Shkiyah. You can daven Nila Balayla. And according to that opinion, the Gemara said that there's no need to daven Ma'ariv HaMetzo Yom Kippur. You yotze with Ne'ilah. You already had the Tefillah. You yotze with Ne'ilah. And we do the third opinion that really is in the Yerushalmi, that you have to start Ne'ilah Bayom, but you can finish Balayla. So that's what we do. That Ne'ilah is really, you have to daven it on Yom Kippur, but if you began on Yom Kippur, that's good enough. There's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say a person was eating on Purim, Sudas Purim, and he began the meal, he washed, he started to eat the bulk of the Suda, the main course he ate on Purim, but then he continues to eat and he doesn't bench till Matzoi Purim. After Tzeis Chacham, do you say Alanisim, same Shabbos and Yom Tov? Do you say, here in Yeshiva, they always finish all the Shudas after Tzeis Chachavim and then they bench? And they say b'tzei, so that's a machlekes, whether you say b'tzei or not. So we pass on the halacha that you go b'asa t'chilos ha-suda. As long as you started suda on Purim, on Rosh Chodesh, then you say b'tzei or you say yalla v'yava, whatever it happens to be. So the Bi'ur HaGra writes that the makor is from this Yerushalmi by Ne'ilah, that we pass on, you have to start Ne'ilah b'yom. There's some yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, but they're machmer, so they finish the whole Ne'ilah b'yom. They finish the whole Kaddish Neskal, they finish everything b'yom. So they don't blow shofar right after Ne'ilah. Our meaning is that we finish Ne'ilah in the middle of the night after Tzeis HaKorah, then they blow shofar right away. But in those yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, when they finish Ne'ilah Bayom, they want to finish before the Shkia, because there are three different opinions in the Gemara, three different opinions in the Rishonim, out of Paskin. So the common practice is that we assume we Paskin Halacha. As long as you begin Ne'ilah Bayom is good. So the Gros says that's the mocha for that psak, that if you began the meal by yom, then you stay yalav yavoy for Rosh Chodesh or Alanisim for Purim or whatever it happens to be. The common practice is that you finish Nila in the middle of the night. So the Gemara says normally Nila is recited on a tiny Sibur. So the Yuduchin. The Yeduchin, when does one Duchin? So the Mishnah says Yeduchin Shachris every day of the year. And every time they Duchin Shachris and Musaf. And I told you, only Mechuyiv to Duchin once a day. Not Mechuyiv to Duchin more than once a day. But the Rabbanan, they Mechuyiv to Duchin Shachris and Musaf. Why don't they Duchin Mincha and Ma'ariv also? So the Gemara says, no, you don't Duchin by Mincha because Shchichei Shikrus. Some of the Kohanim may have just had a drink of wine because. Before Musaf, you're allowed to have a nibble, but you don't have a main, you don't have a big meal. So we're not afraid. Maybe someone today, they have a Kiddush club. A lot of shuls are there. A lot of half the Kohanim are stone drunk by the time they get to Davin Musaf. So then you're not allowed to duchen by Musaf. But the Gemara assumes they're not going to be drunk by Musaf, even though you're allowed to have a little nibble, a little bite, but you don't have a whole meal, so no one's going to, it's not going to be Shichei Shikris. By the time it's time to Davin Mincha, or Ma'ariv, the people will have eaten already, so there's a hashash of shikris. So the Gemara has a machlokes atanim. What about mincha and atayin sibur? Everybody's fasting. Maybe you should duchen mincha and atayin sibur. So that's a machlokes. One tana holds that you duchen, we paskin, you don't duchen. We paskin that you don't duchen. It's a loy plug, mincha and atayin sibur, ata mincha of all year long. But ne'ila is only meyuchad for atayin sibur. So ne'ila, you do duchen. Medina Gemara, you duchen by ne'ila. But we only have Ne'ilah once a year on Yom Kippur. So the Shabbos Bapayas, we get to the duchening part, it's already in the middle of the night. It's already Tzeis HaKachavim. So is there such a thing as duchening Balayla? So the Mishnah has in the end of Tainis, you don't duchen by Ma'ariv. Why not? So a lot of Rishonim say, you don't duchen Balayla because duchening is compared in the Chumash to Akrobas HaKarbonis. We have a pasuk in Parshas Shmini. You only makriv karbonis in the daytime. You can't be makriv karbonis at night. So just like you don't makriv karbonis at night, so you don't duchen balayla. Because the Gemara has a pasuk that is a hekesh. There's a connection between. There's a connection between duchening and hakrovas hakarbonis. The pasuk says. Ki bam bach Hashem the shorsa levarach b'shmai. Hakadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim. It says when you bring an egla rufa, that the Kohanim should take kapal le'amcha esol shepadis Hashem. So who are the Kohanim? The Kohanim were the ones that were chosen levarcho to duchen levarcho the shorsa or levarach b'shmai. Shorsa means to be makav the kabbana, so lebarach b'shmo means to duchen. So the Gemara said there's a hekesh between the two. That just like sheiris has to be b'amida, just like you have to stand when you makav a kabbana, so if you makav a carbon in a sitting position, the carbon is puzzle, so too the kohanim have to stand when they duchen. So that's what all the Rishonim, many Rishonim assume. Not all, many Rishonim assume that just like Hakrobus Karbonus has to be Bayom, Bayom Sabos and the Hakrobus Karbonim, so to Duchening has to be Bayom. The Vesesa quotes from the Maharil that in Frankfurt, the meaning was only in Frankfurt, and all the other Kehillahs didn't do it. They used to Duchen in the middle of the night. The reason why the Mishnah says no Duchening by Ma'irav, because no Chazoras Hashatz, that's why. But if you happen to be saying Chazoras Hashatz of Ne'il in the middle of the night, then you would have duchening, even though it's in the middle of the night. Aye, but it's against all the Rishonim. They say that there's a hekesh between the Sharso Ulevarach Bishmo, a hekesh between Hakrovas HaKarbonis and duchening. So the Maharil defends the minig. Maharil lived in Germany. So he quotes this minig frankly. He defends it. He says there is no such din that you can't be makar any Karbonis Balayla. Haktoras HaMincha may be done Balayla. And Nisach Hayayin may be done Balayla. Only Dalar Avodas Adam may not, Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika may not be done Balayla. Or the Dalar Avodas of the Mincha that are parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam also cannot be done Balayla. But other Avodas can be done Balayla. Shagazari also has a Sefer on Tainus that's called Gvuras Ari. He writes the same, the very last paragraph in the Sefer. He defends Minik Frankfurt. He didn't live in Frankfurt. He lived in France. He was a rabbi in Metz. But at the end of his life. But he defends the minig, and he says the same as the Maharil. He didn't have a Maharil. He says the same as the Maharil. So in Broyers, that's the minig, that they duchen, they'll duchen in the middle of the night by the Ne'ilah. There's a minig mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that just like the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur has to be married to one wife, so too the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibah, and Yom Kippur is considered like the Kohen Gadol, just like the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah to get the Kapara, so the Shliach Tzibah says the Chazaras HaShatz, so the Chazan should be married. And a lot of yeshivas, they didn't have enough people who were married, so they had single boys davening for an amid also. They have no choice. But if you have a kehillah, you have a community, so you try to get a person who's married, and sometimes you have a person whose wife is not well, and they permitted, Bezdin permitted them with the Hetamei Rabbanah to marry a second wife. If the wife is institutionalized and she can't function and he feels that he needs a wife, so then we permit him to remarry. So the Kohen Gadol cannot have more than one wife on Yom Kippur. So you shouldn't have such a person, Davening for an Amid on Yom Kippur, unless he's the best one, then you got no choice. So that was an old minig in Europe. In fact, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, Rabbi Kiv Eger's son, has a tshuva. He has a collection of tshuvas, very beautiful tshuvas. As a true, where he writes that many kehillahs and many was that they wouldn't give aliyahs to single people. They only gave aliyahs to married people also. In Hagban Galila, where it's not really an aliyah, there were different minhagim, whether they would give it to the single people or not. After Yom Kippur is over, there are different minhagim. When you recite Kiddush Levana, you're supposed to be in a happy mood. So the Ramah writes that you don't say Kiddush Levana until after Aseres Meitshuva because people are too dead serious. Aseres Meitshuva, so you wait till after Aseres Meitshuva. And Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Vilna Gaon and many others disagree with this Ramah, and they think it's more correct to try to say Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur. So you have another schus, you did another mitzvah. But a lot of times it turns out that it was cloudy and you couldn't say Kiddush Levana. So Rabbi Soloveitchik a lot of times would say Kiddush Levana Amitzoy Yom Kippur with the sneakers on before he broke his fast. And he would always explain that it's not the same as Tisha B'Av. Amitzoy Tisha B'Av, because man, you didn't put your shoes on, you didn't eat yet, so you're still in a miserable mood because you're observing Avelus the whole day. But on Yom Kippur, even though you're not wearing shoes and you're not eating, but everyone is in a happy mood. Yom Kippur is a happy day. Yom Mechila Slicha. So Motzoi Yom Kippur, you can say Kiddush Levana, even though you didn't eat yet, and even though you didn't put on your shoes yet. Shulchan Aruch quotes a Mechilta that by Melchemes Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu was picking up his hands, Then the pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu held his hands up, the Jewish people winning the war. When he put his hands down, they were losing the war. So Aaron v'Hur stood on the two sides of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Tom Chagod the Mizechad and Mizechad. They held his hands up. So the Mechilta says, Mikan, from this pasuk you see that when you have a tiny sibur and the tefillah, it's an eis tzara. Tefillah be eis tzara. Is the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there's an obligation to daven menator once a day, every day. The Gemara says davening is made the Rabbanan. That means davening three times a day, four times a day. You keep davening five times a day. Musa Vanila, five times a day. So that's made the Rabbanan. The particular Nusach HaTfila is only made the Rabbanan. But in principle, the fact that you have to daven once a day, we said the Rambam's opinion is that that's menator. The Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam, he thinks, no, the Lagamri Tfilah is only the Rabbanan, a Tfilah be a Sarah, that's been Atur. So, so whenever you have a Tainus Sibur, you have a Tainus because it's an Eis Tzara. So the davening is more serious then. So we need a Bezin. We need two people standing next to the Chazan, that we should be Toveah, we should sort of demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to take care of his people. Because he has a bris, we're shutfen, he made a covenant with the Jewish people. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that Ein Tainus Sibur B'Bov Chutz Mitish Bov Yom Kippur. And Tisha B'Av, we don't daven Nila because we say in Eicha, Kam Ki Ezek V'Asheri Asasam Tfilasi. Now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the prayers are not accepted to the same extent as when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, because Kibbeis HaBeis Tfilah Yikare, Beis HaMikdash is the office for his accepting all the Tfilahs, and Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, said everyone should daven in the Beis HaMikdash, they should face the Beis HaMikdash. Spada Alecha Derech Yirazaz, Derech HaBayis Hazel. So on Tisha B'Av we don't say Tiskabel. When we daven Shacharis, we leave out the line Tiskabel, because the prayers are no longer accepted to the same extent. So in Mele, we don't say Ne'ilah. All idea of Ne'ilah is if you say Riba Tfilah, you daven again for the same, make a request again for the same thing, so you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. But on Tishba, we want to demonstrate that the prayers are not going to be answered so much. So we're left in the 2 days at a time, the Sibir Bebabel, Tishba Yom Kippur. So we only say Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, because Tishba is a Tainus Sibur. But we demonstrate as if the prayers are not going to be accepted as well. But on Yom Kippur, because we want to emphasize the Tefillah, so I said in the Shulchan Aruch, Tainus Sibur Tzorach Shlosha. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to have two people stand next to the Chazan by Ma'ariv, and by Shachris, and by Musaf, and by Mincha, and by Ne'ilah. The Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch says that that's not the meaning. He says you only have two people standing next to the Chazan for Kol Nidrei, because you say Kol Nidre as an act of Hataras Nedarim, so you need a Bezna of Shloisha. And basically, Ma'ariv and Shacharis and Mincha and Musaf, these are things that you daven not only on the Tainus Sibur, you daven all these things on Rosh Hashanah, which was not a Tainus Sibur. Ne'ilah is a Tfilah Satayna, so then we should really have two people standing next to the Chazan. So how come we don't have it by Ne'ilah? So he says, no, the Minigas, he leaves the Aron Kodesh open, so everybody's standing, next to the Chazan. They always have one or two people standing next to the Chazan. That's when the Magen Avraham says that our meaning is you only have two people standing next to the Chazan by Ne'ilah, and that we have because everybody's standing them because the Aron Kodesh is open, and by Hataras Nedarim. Rav Soloveitchik used to have, there were years here in the yeshiva where they used to have that practice here too. They used to have two people standing next to the Chazan by not the whole Pesukah Zim and the whole Birchas Kriyat Shema, but by Chazaras HaShatz. They had two people standing next to the Chazan. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that we call the day Yom HaKippurim. Why in the plural? In America they call it Yom Kippur in the singular, in English. But in Tanakh, in Chumash, it's called Yom HaKippurim. It's a double kapur. So the Ramah quotes in Mariv, Marivail, that's kapur l'chaim, kapur l'meisim, that even the dead people also get a kapur. Why do the dead people need a kapur? What did they do already? They already got a kapur before they died. The answer is, sometimes a person does something improper during his lifetime. He doesn't give his children a proper chinuch. Then the children continue to do aveiros, and then they raise their children, it keeps on going, generation after generation, because this person did something improper during his lifetime, has a continued effect even years later. So the Mesim are judged again, and sometimes they'll be sent to burn again and again because of things that they did during their lifetime. So even the Mesim also need a kapara. So we assume that Yom Kippur is a kapara l'chaim, kapara l'mesim. Achreinim are bothered with Akasha, that there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma. The yeshiva is learning Bava Kamma this year. So you have to say something about Bava Kamma. There's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma where they say that if my Shor HaMu'ad killed an Adam and I died before I pay the kofar, so the din is en kapara l'mesim. It's based on the Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma. Kuf Dalet or some. The Ein Kapara L'Mesim doesn't only apply to bringing karbanas after the person died. Even a kapara paying a cash payment, that's for the sake of kapara, also Ein Kapara L'Mesim. So how can you say that Yom HaKippurim is Kapara L'Chaim, Kapara L'Mesim? So I think it's Rabbi Yitzchok Yochanan has a sefer on Chosh Mishpat, not too popular a sefer, but he comments on the Mishnah in Makkos. Mishnah Makkos says that the one who killed B'Shegeg has to go to the Ori Miklot and stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies. When the Kohen Gadol dies, then he gets his kapar. So what if someone had to go to the Ori Miklot and he dies before the Kohen Gadol died? So the Gemara said he didn't get his kapar yet. You're not allowed to bury him in the family grave in Tel Aviv or wherever it is that Yerushalayim. You have to, even after he's dead, you have to bury him in the cemetery of Dori Mikla, and the Kohen Gadol dies 5 years later, then he gets his kapara, and then you can rebury his body in the Kever HaMishpacha. So Rabbi Yitzchok Yochanan asked Akasha, Avrein kapara l'mesim, how can you say that Mises Kohen Gadol is mechaper on the man who's dead? So he says, Ein kapara l'mesim, it's only kapara sayochid. Like bringing a korban is mechaper on that individual person. You can't bring a chatas for a few people to be shutfim. Or paying kofar when the Shoah Mu'ad kills an Adam, so the Baal HaShor gets a kapar. When it's a kapar like Yom Kippur, it's mechaper and a whole group of people. Kaparas HaTzibah, kapar, kaparas HaRabim, Mises Kohen Gadol is mechaper and all the people who killed B'Shegeg. So since it's mechaper on the living people, so it's also mechaper on the dead people. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We assume that there's a kapara l'mesim on Yom Kippur. It's famous, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Akiva, Mikve Yisrael Hashem, that Ashrech Yisrael, Lifnei Atam Mitarma Mimitahires, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitar, the Jewish people, V'nema Mikri Yisrael Hashem, just like when a person is tummy, he goes to the mikveh, so when we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, he allows us to come closer to him. He's Mashu Shechinasa Bayas. There's a special, we assume there's a special Hashros Hashchina on Yom Kippur, more so than all year long. And Amatzoy Yom Kippur, we say Hashem Hu Alekim 7 times, because the Shechina is leaving and going back to the first heaven, seventh heaven, to the 7 heavens. And we blow Shofar, just like at the end of Maimon HaSinai, Kiyo Shofar was a simon, the Siluk Shechina, so too we have different reasons. So one of the reasons is we blow Shofar as a simon, the Siluk Shechina. So Kol Zman on Yom Kippur, the Shechina is with us. So that accomplishes the kapara. So just like a person that's tovel in a mikveh becomes tohar, so one who gets closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes tohar. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. What was the significance of comparing the tahara and Yom Kippur to a mikveh? So Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of the Bali Musa, the Darshanim in Europe, he often said over drushes from others. Sometimes there were original ideas, sometimes from others. So he said this was a common thought. That there's a Mishnah, the Mishnah says in Yuma that Ki b'yom hazeh yechapech u'tarech simcha chataseichem lifnei Hashem. On Yom Kippur, God forgives us. God will atone the sins that we did bein Adam l'amokim. Simcha chataseichem lifnei Hashem. The averes that we did bein Adam l'amokim. Yom Kippur is not mechaper, and averes bein Adam l'chaver, ad she'irat hazcharer, unless he asks forgiveness from his friend. Kozmai doesn't ask not. So the Bali Musa used to say, if you don't ask forgiveness for your friend, Yom Kippur is not even mechaper on averes bein Adam l'amokim, because it's like a person who's tamei. Let's say he's going to be tovel in the mikvah, he's going to keep his hand out. So you don't say the whole body is tohar and the hand is tamei. Either you have to submerge yourself fully under the water of the mikvah, either the whole body is tamei, the whole body is tohar. You can't have a tahara l'chatzoy. So the tahara on Yom Kippur is either all or nothing. So if it's not mechaper on averes bein Adam l'chaveroi, it's not mechaper on averes bein Adam l'amokim either. Remember many years ago, there were 2 years that I've been teaching here for over 50 years. There were 2 years in my recollection that the yeshiva The college, all yeshiva in the college began after Sukkot. So we went to Eretz Yisrael those two times. So I remember once there used to be Shofet Tal from the... he was the Supreme Court, and Eretz always has one religious member to show that they're not so anti-religious. So there for a period of time, he used to be Shofet Tal. His brother's the one who made the famous siddur. Venus, he saw that everybody uses the beautiful siddur. So he invited me to give... it wasn't Shofet Tal. He invited me to give a shiur, and his own neshach. That was the other, the other one. I forgot his name. The other Shofet. He was before Tal. He was also on the Supreme Court. So he invited me to give a shiur, so it must have been on Seres Mei Tshuva. So he introduced me. He was the MC. He introduced me, and then I said this over. And then I sat down. So he jumps up, and he said, "That's the first time I ever heard that. I haven't heard, never heard of such a thing before. That if a person didn't ask Mechila Ben Adam Lachavero, see, Yom Kippur is not even Mechaper on the Ben Adam Lamokim." So Rav Soloveitchik said it over, the name of the Bali Musa, that's where Rabbi Kiva compared it to a mikveh. That just like a mikveh is either all or nothing, so Yom Kippur is also that type of a kapora. The Tanoim have a very strange machloikas where the Yom Kippur is Mechaper if you didn't do tshuva. And it's a machloikas of Rishonim had a paska. What do you mean a machloikas? We usually have a machlekes. How do you shake a lulav? How do you daven? How do you observe Shabbos? What do you mean machlekes? Whether the Bezen Shalmaila is mechapa you on Yom Kippur if you didn't do tshuva? Ask the Bezen Shalmaila. We're not entitled to an opinion on that. That's not a shaila for us. We have a right to pass kashala that in the get us. How do they have a machlekes hatanam? So I think the answer is there's a Mishnah in the end of Krisa. The Mishnah says, if a person became obligated before Yom Kippur to bring a chatas or a nosham or any korban, and Yom Kippur passes, he's still obligated to bring the korban even after Yom Kippur goes by, except for Oshem Tolui. If a person was obligated to bring an Oshem Tolui, so then once Yom Kippur comes and he gets mechila, he gets kapara, he doesn't have to bring the Oshem Tolui. So now it's a shayla halacha lemaisa for us. If a person was mechuyav an Oshem Tolui, because he's not sure if he ate chelev or not, and then it comes Yom Kippur, and he didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur from not eating the possible Safik Chelav. So they say Yom Kippur is Bechapa, even if he didn't do tshuva, so he doesn't have to bring the Hashem Talui. Or no, he is Mukhayif to bring the Hashem Talui. So Machlek is for us. Aloch HaLamaisa. So the Tanoim have a Machlek is for the Yom Kippur is Bechapa, if lo yasa tshuva. Yeah, we pask and we assume la Aloha that the Ramam's opinion. Yom Kippur is not Bechapa, if lo yasa tshuva. Some of the Goyim held like the other Tanoim. Like Rebbe, Yom Kippur is even mechaper if lo yasa tshuva, and the Rambam at Perek Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva makes a big fuss about that, that you never get any kapara unless you do tshuva. When a person gets malchus, so they tell him to say vidui, otherwise the malchus is not going to be mechaper. When a person gets Mises Bezin, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the Rambam quotes it, they tell him say vidui, otherwise your Misa will not be mechaper. When a person is about to die in the hospital, so the chaplain tells him say vidui. And Yom Kippur is mechaper. So whenever there's any kapara, you always have to have tshuva and vidui. You never get a kapara without. The Minchas Eluzer was the main Hungarian rabbi who was wildly opposed to the Zionist movement. So he says, what do these Zionists think? They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to walk to Al-Arams and get kapara. The Gemara comments on the concluding pasuk in Shiras Hazino. The Chipa Ad Masai Amoy. The Poshib Shat means something else, Rashi explains. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Chipa Ad Masai Amoy, the one who walks the Al Ramas Ner Tzol gets Mechilas Avoinas. So the Minchas Olos says, what do you think? These secular Zionists, Apikursim, think that they're going to go to Eretz, they're going to get Mechilas Avoinas. You don't get any Mechilas Avoinas unless you do tshuva and you say vidui. These guys are not, they don't believe in the whole religion. They're not doing any tshuva, they're not saying any vidui. So they're not going to get any kapara. He quotes that from the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says like that on the Gemara, the end of Ksubis. That when you walk the Al-Aramas and Eretz Yisrael, you get a Mechilas Avainas. If you do tshuva, you don't do any tshuva, you don't get Mechilas Avainas. On Yom Kippur, there's a special din of Chamisha Inuyim, Inisim Esnaf Shaseichem. And if one violates Achilus Shtia, then the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk that there's a punishment of Kores. So if one ate B'Shoigeg, Yechayv Chatos. The other Inuyim, Chitzah, Sichon, Yilsa, Sandal, Tashman, Shamito, there is no Kores. So So that led to a big machlekes. So Rishayim and the Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Sharinuim are only midirabbanan. If all the Sharinuim would have been deraisa, then there should have been chorus on everything. Not such a strong argument, because we have dam, one who eats dam is onush kares, but there are different kinds of dam. If, let's say, you have a piece of meat and you didn't salt it, you squeeze out the dam, that's called dam haivar. The blood and the capillaries, and you drink it, that's an isa deraisa, but you're not chayv kares on that. You only chayv kares on the dam shanashama yotzebo, when you shech the animal, the dam that gushes out, at one point, the beginning, it's not dam shanashama, but the end, when it's coming out, also in danta, but in the middle, the dam changes colors in the middle. So in the middle is going to be dam shanashama yotzebo, or dam hakonas belev, the dam that you find in the heart of the animal. That's an isa kares. But the other dam is also an isa deraisa. You have one posik that says you're not allowed to eat dam, and sometimes it has kares, sometimes it does not have kares. So just because there's only kares on achil shtia, there's no kares on the sharinuim, and not necessarily such a good proof that the sharinuim is only with the rabbanan. The simple reading of the Rambam, some achrenim think the Rambam also agrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, that sharinuim is only rabbanan. But the simple reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam disagrees and holds that all the inuim are deraisa. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim when you perform chalitza. It says v'cholzon na'aloi me'al raglo. She has to take off the na'al. Is it considered a shoe only if it's made from leather, or even if she just takes off the sock from his right foot? That's not good enough. But what if she takes off sneakers? But what if he's wearing sneakers? It's megan on the foot. What if he's wearing a wooden shoe? It's megan. It protects the foot, but it's not made from leather. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether now, by definition, has to be dafke a shoe from leather or anything that protects the foot. So it's relevant for chalitza, and it's relevant for nilas asandal on Yom Kippur. It's relevant for when one is Rachman Lizlan sitting Shiva. So one is not allowed to wear shoes. So the common practice is we pass on Yom Kippur. If the shoes are sneakers, it's not made from leather, then it's permissible. So the Rambam writes, not so. In Hilchas, some Rishonim, Balamor paskins that you can do chalitza with sneakers. It doesn't have to be leather, anything that's megan. But that's not the accepted psak. The Rambam says it has to be davka leather by chalitza. It has to even leather. Normal shoes are made from horse leather. So the chalitza shoe, Rabbi Natan has a chiddush, chalitza shoe has to be from orbeim atori. You can't use horse leather. So that's why the batidinim always have a separate shoe for chalitza. You don't use the regular shoe because it's made from horse leather. So the Rambam should have said that any shoe that's not made out of leather you may wear on Yom Kippur. And he says, not so. He says, you shouldn't wear shoes in order there should be bargish koshi ha'aretz. You should feel how uncomfortable it is to walk with your bare foot on the ground. So Chacham Avadya, in the Chelek of Yabi Oimer that they just printed after he passed away, so they reprinted an old shuva that he wrote when he was still in Egypt, way before he became the chief rabbi, and he deals with this Rambam. What do you do with this Rambam? So he quotes Svarta Shachranim and say that Rambam is Lishitosai, because the Rambam held that the Ola Chamishi Noima Deraisa, and the Rambam understood that the Issa Deraisa is only with leather, but if you're going to wear a shoe that's not made from leather, so that's awesome in the Rambam. But once you're paskin, we accepted the Shitas Bali Ataisis. Why did he accept Shitas Bali Ataisis? The Svartim usually don't accept the Bali Ataisis. If the Rambam disagrees, he says, but we have accepted Shitas Bali Ataisis. The Roli Noim is only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says that Nila Sansam only applies if it's made from leather. It's not made for leather, so there isn't even an Issa Rabban. If the din would have been the Rambam the Shitas, if the din would have been that Nila Sansam is the Raisa, so then the Rambam is able to say, Minatur, it's only also if it's made from leather. If it's not made from leather, but you're not margish koshi horitz, that's also of the Rambam. But Rav Soloveitchik used to be makbid because they quote the Vilna Gaon and said you should be machna. Vilna Gaon said, look, Tisha B'Av is only the Rabbanon. Avelis is only the Rabbanon. We assume Ashkenaz hold all Avelis is only the Rabbanon, even Avelis Yom Rishon. Everything is only the Rabbanon. So there when Mekel, we say if the shoe is not made from leather, so you're not in violation of Nila Sasan. But on Yom Kippur, that according to the Rambam, several other, the Bach, several other poskim is dealing with an issue, the Raisa of Nila Sasandal, Hamish Neymar, the Raisa, So the Vilna Gaon said it's kedai to be machmer, not to wear a sneaker. So when you're walking in the streets are all concrete here. All the streets are paved. So you're going to kill your feet, it's going to hurt. So the Gemara says, Hol chedrachim, if someone's walking on a highway, on Yom Kippur, we allow him to wear his shoes, he can wear leather shoes. So you can wear the sneakers. But when you're in shul, so that's what the Vilna Gaon recommended, that one should take off the sneakers and be choshesh for this Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik used to be choshesh for the Rambam. He said you should wear sneakers that don't have arches. Margish koshi horitz. If you wear sneakers with arches, then you're not margish koshi horitz. That was his compromise. The Gemara has a machlekes of Yechonam Ish Lakish. What if a person eats a chatzi shir? The shir on Yom Kippur is different from the shir achil and kol tar kula. Kol tar kula, when you eat non-kosher food, so the shir for eating food is kizai, so the shir for drinking a beverage is revius. That's how the Rambam holds. And on Yom Kippur, the shir for eating food is bigger than a kizai, tosefes agasa, which is a little bit less than an egg, a medium-sized egg. And the shir for drinking is less than a revius. It's a malay lugma, which is a rabbi revius by an ordem beinani. So the Gemara has a machlekes of Yechem Ish Lakish. What if a person eats less than the shir, drinks less than the shir on Yom Kippur? Is that an isa deraisa, an isa rabbanan? So we paskin like Rabbi Yechonah that's an isa deraisa. So the paskin point out this is a chiddush, that even on Yom Kippur, where the isa is v'nisimus nafshe sechem, it doesn't really make sense to say chatzi shir is inisa. It's what we should, the Raga Chava has an expression, that the shir nekuda. It's not a shir mitzaref. If you eat less, kim lehula rabbanan, the chachamim established the mitzvah, that if you eat less than a kosevus agas, it's not going to be filling. So you shouldn't, it does make sense to say chatzi shir osim anater. Still, even on Yom Kippur, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Even on Yom Kippur, that a chatzi shir is osim anater. So why do we sometimes tell the cholim that they should eat pachas mikashir? They're violating an isa deraisa anyway. So the answer is, we're talking about a cholim who has a het to pikuach nefesh. If you don't have a cholim with a suffix sakana, he's not allowed to eat pachas mikashir either. People make a mistake. They think a cholim she'en b'sakana can eat pachas mikashir. No, the het to eat pachas mikashir is only if there's a suffix sakana involved. But the Gemara has the klal in the end of Yuma, Machila Mosa Hakal Hakal Tchila. If a person has to eat non-kosher food in order to save his life, so we say if he has a choice of eating chazer or eating chelev. So chelev is koris, and chazer is only a lav. So eat the chazer is only a lav. Don't eat the chelev, which is an isa koris. Or he has tevel. Tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, and he has chelev, which is koris. The koris is worse than misa b'dei shamayim. So there's a rule you should. If you have to violate an avera for the sake of pikuach nefesh, let's say either someone is sick, achodem mesukan, you have to go to the hospital. Either I'm going to drive the car, or the non-Jew is ready to drive the car. So if you ask a non-Jew to do the malacha, that's only the rabban. If you drive the car on Shabbos, that's a malacha deraisa. So why violate the isa deraisa if you can save the person's life? You're only violating an isa derabban. So that's called machila mosa hakala kalchli. Try to violate the lesser avera. So if you eat pachas mikashir, chatzi shir osmanatar, but there's no koris. If you're going to eat a regular meal, that's going to be an isa koris. So that's called pachas mikashir, is akal akal tchila. So there's a famous psak from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Elwala Soloveitchik quotes it in his sefer. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this, and he printed it when he wrote about his father. He wrote the isha halacha. That was a description that was written after his father passed away, so he gives a whole description of what his father was like. So he writes, when his father took his first rabbinical position in Europe, at Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim made him promise with a tkiyas kaf for the handshake, he's going to follow his psak, that the only time he insisted people should eat pachas mikashir is if he's a healthy person now, but your faith is going to fast, he may get into a suffix sakana. So then we say, machila moso, pachas mikashir. But if the fellow already has cancer and he's taking chemotherapy and he's trying to pull himself out of the suffix sakana, he already is in the suffix sakana, he's half dead, he's trying to save his life to get out of it, Then Rab Chaim Paskin, you don't have to have pochus pochus mikashir. So this is famous, this is Rab Chaim's psak. The truth of the matter is, it's not miyuchat to Rab Chaim. This was the psak on Bekubel and Balozhin. The Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shultas, when he came to Balozhin before Bar Mitzvah, he came as a young boy, and then right after his Bar Mitzvah, he married the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter. She was a few years older than her. She was Rab Bitzel of Balozhin. He never knew Rab Chaim Balozhin. The Netziv was there till the end. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years of Balozhin. So he wasn't there. Balozhin lasted for 90 years. He wasn't there when Rab Chaim Balozhin was alive. But he writes, when he came to Balozhin, the Nachman's David was still alive. Nachman's David learned from Rab Chaim Balozhin. Nachman's David said, this was the Psak HaMekubal of Rab Chaim Balozhin. He was the Rav of Balozhin, not just the head of the yeshiva. He was the rabbi in the community. This was his Psak, that if the person already is a Chayla Mesukan and he's trying to pull his way out of it, then you don't give Pachas Pachas Mekashir. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says it also, that people skip that line in Mishnah Berurah. All the Rabbanim usually tell anyone who has to eat, they tell me you should eat Pachas Pachas Mekashir. That's not what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says this. Rav Soloveitchik always used to present it, and Rav Dovla Soloveitchik also presents it as if it was his father's original psak. It wasn't his father's psak. That was Rav Chaim Balozhin at Paskin like that. And the Netziv carried on the tradition. Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. They were co-Rosh Yeshiva at the same time. So of course Rav Chaim Paskin like that. There are those who mistakenly write that the Heter Pikuach Nefesh, that the Yedoche Kol HaTorah Kula, because Pikuach Nefesh was developed by the rabbis during the Melchemes HaChashmonai. Because in the book of Maccabees, it says something about that. That when the enemy would attack them on Shabbos, that they wouldn't fight back. And then the Rabbanim said, no, Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaShabbos, you can fight back. So there are those who thought that the whole concept of Pikuach Nefesh, Derech HaKol HaTorah Kula, was only invented during the Tkufa of the Chashmonaim. So Moshe Tzvi Neria, who was the founder of all the yeshivot, Bnei Akiva, and Eretz Yisrael, has a whole essay about this. He thinks that this is ridiculous. What do you mean? The days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the day after the Torah was given, they weren't Cholim Uskenim. They were always sick people. They died on Yom Kippur? They fasted? It's ridiculous. From day number one, they knew you have to eat on Yom Kippur. If a woman was having a baby, of course you go to the hospital on Shabbos. Everybody knew that. There was an issue about Melchama. There was a shade of an issue of Pikuach Nefesh, Derech HaShabbos. There was an issue about how many Melchamas are considered Pikuach Nefesh. So they broadened out the Kula, broadened out the Heter in the days of the Chashmonai. But the Heter was always there. It doesn't make sense to say that the Heter came later. We were discussing, maybe we'll close with this, we were discussing the fact that my Mechutin, Rafi Posen, was about Tefillah in Kerem Yavne for so many years, and the last year before he passed away, he was very sick, he had serious cancer. So he had to eat on Yom Kippur. So he said he asked Rav Nebenzal. He always asked the Shadas to Rav Nebenzal. He asked Rav Nebenzal because he lived in the Rova. So Rav Nebenzal said he's allowed to daven for Anamid even though he's eating. So in America there was such a shayla over here. Chazan Malavani also had a serious case of cancer. He pulled through. And he asked Rav Soloveitchik, is he allowed to daven for Anamid if he has to eat on Yom Kippur? He has to eat because of his treatment. Rabbi Soloveitchik told him he should not daven for an omid because he's going to eat extra in order to have more koyach than in order to be able to daven. And he has no heter to eat extra. He only has a heter to eat what he needs to stay alive. In order to be able to have koyach to daven for an omid, he's going to eat more. He said, for that, you have no heter to eat extra. We should all be healthy. We should all be able to fast. The Rabbi Breuer used to visit the people in the neighborhood. He used to make house calls and Aseres Yemei Teshuva. There were people who were in their 90s and they had fasted for 75 years or whatever, 85 years. So they wanted to fast on Yom Kippur also. So he would visit the old sick people and tell them, just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah for you that you have to eat. Some people are so old, they were fasting so many years, they don't want to eat on Yom Kippur. So you have to convince them. They're not allowed to fast. Pikuach Nefesh is Derech Yom Kippur. It doesn't only mean if there's a chashash, guy's going to drop dead today. If he's going to, not only is he going to die within the near future, even if his doctors think that he may die a day, a minute earlier than otherwise, like this is going to die when he reaches 120, like this is going to die day before his birthday. So you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur if you think you're going to die a little earlier. That's also called Pikuach Nefesh. So the older people who are not healthy, You have to convince them that they have to eat on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Breuer used to make house calls. He used to go to visit all the older people whom he decided have to eat. And he would go tell them they have to eat. We should all be healthy and we should all have our Gemach Sima Teva.